Brill Awards took place in Kingston last week. The original project was created by Reginald Brill, who was head of Kingston College of Art in the 1950s. His aim was to secure the borough's place as a patron of the arts, and the Brill collection now includes over 120 works. There were some big winners on the night, and we sent Jackie reporter Lucy Knowles along to meet them.
So my name is Ruth Brimacombe. I'm one of the curators at Kingston Museum, and I have responsibility for the Brill Award from a curatorial point of view. And so my involvement, I'm part of the selection panel when we go and choose the artists to present their portfolios, and I'm one of the people who helps select the artists who are going to be shortlisted. And then I'm once the works are presented, I will be the person who makes sure that they go up onto, that they're used digitally, and also that they're on view as much as possible. And at the moment, we've now got, I'm responsible for creating the newly designated Brill Award section downstairs so we can remake a feature of the award.
Great. Just purely for the benefit of our listeners, would you be able to briefly outline the origin of the Brill Awards?
The Brill Award goes back almost 70 years, and it was the foresight of a man called Reginald Brill, and he was the groundbreaking head of the Kingston School of Art. He took over the School of Art when it was not in such a innovative situation, and he came up with this idea that, because they were doing the Recording Britain project in the after the post-war, and one of his lecturers, Wilfred Fairclough, was involved in Recording Britain, which was, and he would, this idea of recording spaces that might be destroyed or disappeared or transformed. And he took that idea and applied it on a local level. And as well as being a modern British artist, he was also very involved in Kingston. So he was involved in decisions about the colours of lampposts and any ceremonial occasions. Brill would have been involved in the discussions. And so he had vague contacts with the council and with the Rotary, and he persuaded them in 1954 to set up this exhibition. So the first Brill dates from 1955. And his idea was that it would enable the borough to become not only a patron, but also to create these records, this legacy for future generations. And that's what's happened, really. It's, we have this over 120 works that record this, the changing face of Kingston. And there's that place of those things that you forget that everybody knew and have nostalgic memories about, they disappear. But thanks to Brill, we have an artistic record. And what's lovely about it is that it's not just a documentary record, that the artist managed to bring a sense of place and environment and sort of a visceral engagement with the space that they're in. So you get these extraordinary lasting records of somewhere that's vanished. So we're trying to bring them out as much as possible and to make people as aware as possible about this incredible legacy set up by Brill.
So you've mentioned that it's all to, the focus is really on these sites which are subject to transformation and change within the borough. I'd be really interested to know how you go about selecting the sites and then matching them with the artists.
So I don't know how they did it originally. So Brill, when it started, he would commission his lecturers. So in the first phase, it would have been possibly Brill deciding, and his lecturers, the staff amongst the university, would be tasked with creating the images. And that phase sort of finished in 1971. There was a lull, and then the Friends of Kingston Museum and Heritage Service took it over. And from that point, so since 1997 up until the present day, it's the Friends who decide the three sites. So between them, they follow points and sites that are going to be destroyed or changed, and they discuss between themselves, and then they nominate three sites. Then we have the selection of artists from the Kingston School of Art. So that was the other change. In 1907, it became open to the art students rather than the lecturing staff. And since then, the art students are invited. So it happens earlier in the year, around March. They're invited to submit their sketches, their sketchbooks and their portfolios. And then we have the selection committee where we look at the different works of art and we decide. So three artists are shortlisted. And then, because they've already selected the three sites, they've already been decided by the Friends through a committee, that they all talk about it together. Once that's decided, we then match, after we've nominated the artists, we then match the artists to the nominated site. And we're looking at their skill, their style, and to try and make sure that we've got the right person to create the image. And then they go away, and there's always this alchemy that you never quite know what the artist is going to make of it.
Looking at the three artworks, they're so vibrant and full of life and really individual as well. Do you think it's important that these sites are being captured and recorded by artists as opposed to simply by photographers taking pictures?
I think so. I mean, I think the artists bring, there's a physical quality to a work of art. Obviously, the, you know, a photograph is very good at recording detail, but the artists somehow bring a sense of place, that of you capture, there's a residual sense of them actually being in that space, drawing that work, and they capture an essence and an atmosphere that you don't necessarily get within a photograph. And they bring, obviously, that when we ask the artists, when we brief them about what we're looking for, we ask them to bring their artistic vision to the documentary project as well. So it's not just a verbatim record or something, but also to bring a perspective, their own artistic perspective to it. So it tells us something more, it's a little bit more lyrical. And so I think it's very valuable, alongside all the photographs that we have here, so that they bring something, this artistic dimension to that documentary project.
You've already mentioned that when the project was revived, I think that was 1997, that the focus then turned from the lecturing staff to the students at the Kingston School of Art. What do you think young artists can bring to a project like this?
I think they're innovative and they're dynamic, and possibly when it was the lecturing staff, they'd probably already found their style. And what is lovely about having the younger artists is that they're going to try different things, be a little bit more inventive. And also it helps them kind of establish what they're good at and how they can take their particular skills and turn it into a work of art that can be appreciated by a larger audience. And for instance, this year, one of the artists is a graphic novelist. And was obviously used to working in one medium, but she's created an incredible image that can be enjoyed as a... She's brought some of the graphic novel qualities to the work, but has somehow created an image that you can enjoy in a very different way as well.
Amazing. She's just my final question now. Many of our listeners will be really interested in this project. Can they come and see these works of art for themselves?
Yes, they can. So at the moment, on the stairwell gallery, we always have a selection of the old Brills, so the entire Brill collection. We have a selection of at least six of them on view. And at the moment, we actually have the number one Brill, which was created in 1955 by Frank Archer, which is a drawing of the Kingston Bridge, but before John Lewis. So you can see the old wharfs. So they can definitely come and see that. At the bottom of the stairs, we now have this Brill Award section, where the three winners from this year will go on view. But we also try and bring them in to the exhibitions. So next year we'll be having an exhibition called Nocturnes, Kingston at Night. And so certainly two of the works from tonight, which feature sort of twilight scenes, they will be, I'll make sure that they become part of that exhibition. But we're also looking to, because they're digitised, we're trying to make sure that they become available digitally so that people can access them digitally as well.
Hi, I'm Sasha, and I'm one of the artists from the Brill Awards 2024.
So it'd be great to know what made you want to get involved in this project.
So I draw a lot of architectural drawings anyway. I draw a lot of buildings, and so it kind of fitted with what my portfolio is at the moment.
Amazing. Can you tell me a bit about your work? For the listener, you had the task of depicting Wilco Corner in Kingston.
So it was quite a hard place to depict because it's quite a busy spot, so I couldn't draw while I was there, but I chose to focus on the red phone boxes and then contrast that with the yellow of the road signs, because for me the road was quite important because it's such a busy spot with lots of transport and people.
And you've used an interesting medium as well to
use charcoal and collage because I don't really work in colour, but I wanted to bring in a bit of colour with the collage just to make it pop a bit more and stand out a bit.
Is there anything you found particularly appealing or challenging about that particular site?
Just trying to access it. It was very busy all the time, like the cars don't stop ever and you don't want to get run over.
Yeah, just a final question really. Next year marks 70 years since the project began. What does it feel like to have your art be part of such a historic collection?
It's nice to know, and I know it's going to be put on Art UK, so it's nice to think that it's going to be in somewhere forever, because most of my art just ends up on my bedroom floor destroyed, so yeah, it's nice.
Matilda Crossley, Brill Award, Surbiton Station.
Great, thanks for letting me ask you some questions. First of all, what made you want to get involved in this project?
I think the Brill Award, we've always kind of seen Brill around the campus in illustration animation, and learning about the history of it, it kind of makes you feel like you're kind of part of the kind of preservation of things about Kingston, like looking back on them, and you want to kind of be part of that too.
Could you tell me a bit about your work? You had the rear entrance of Surbiton Station.
I got given that, and then I spent a lot of time kind of just hanging around, kind of getting a feel for it. And I always thought it was really interesting that it's such a kind of place that is so transient. Like, people travel through it, they might not really appreciate it as it stands, but it's got a really beautiful skyline. It's very open, and people are thinking about building kind of a car park on it, so that's going to change like the area around it, but the building itself is going to be preserved because it's listed. And so I thought that that was a really kind of interesting thing about the building, so I kind of wanted to portray that.
Was there anything particularly appealing or challenging about trying to depict this site in particular?
Yeah, I'd say definitely more just as important as the building itself really is the sky, since that's so rare in the city to have that kind of open framing. I really wanted to kind of give that, especially with the building is very stark white and very modernist, so for when it was built, so I wanted to give it a kind of sky that would reflect would reflect upon the building, because it kind of camouflage, it takes on whatever the sky is.
What medium did you use? Because all three works of art are so different.
Oh yeah, very different. I've just been, I'm very much a kind of pen and ink person. I do a lot of observational drawing and stuff, so that's kind of my go-to. So I used kind of acrylic ink, and then I used watercolour for because I wanted that very kind of it gives a certain delicateness to the thing, which I felt sky was important for. Yeah.
Just literally as a final question, next year marks 70 years since the Brill Awards began.
Yeah.
What's it like to have your art be part of such a historic collection?
No, I mean, it's great. Looking back on all of the other ones on all of the other artworks on display, it really makes, seeing things be made like before John Lewis was up in, when the roads were getting widened for carriages and cars.
That was Lucy Knowles reporting for Radio Jackie. And if you'd like to find out more about the Brill Collection, just search for Kingston Museum and all the details are there.